Well, you're listening to the Music and Ministry Podcast. So glad that you're back with us once again. And by us, I mean the team here at Music and Ministry. And that includes the fabulous Director of Awesomeness, which is Shawn Reed, and she's here with us today.
Hello.
We just got back from a 5,000-mile trip. You know, when you think about how far 5,000 miles is, you wouldn't, you know, maybe think that's too much. But when you realize that it's only 24,000 miles around
all the way around the Earth,
you start to get maybe a little perspective of how far it is that you drive when you go on these things. But we thought it would be fun today to talk about some of the funny things or just stuff that happens when you're out on the road that you may not think about, because a lot of people think that traveling ministry or just going on tour in general is so glamorous.
That is really not.
Right up until you actually have to go do it. And it is fun and exciting, but then
hallelujah.
You know, it's travel and you get in a car and you drive for hours and hours on end. We drove all the way from Franklin, which is where we live, south of Nashville, to Denver in one day, 20 hours in the car.
That was amazing. We did it.
And it's not the first time we've done it. It's happened a lot of times, but, you know, well, that makes for a long day in the car. And when we first started, we couldn't go more than 8 hours. That was the max.
Yeah. Well, our kids were a lot younger then too, but
I don't know about the age of our kids, but for me, I just couldn't do it. So we were like, man, that. And then it got up to 12, and now we're like, 12, 16.
20. All right. Like,
we're thinking about going to Canada, and we're like,
rare day that we're doing 20 hours, though.
Yeah, but we were thinking about going to Canada, and we're like, 26 hours. Well, we could break it into 2 days. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, your capacity grows.
So we're really grateful that we get to go and see things while we're out. You know, people that get on a tour bus or whatever, they're just on a bus overnight and then they arrive. And so they don't really get to see the in-between parts. And so one of the pluses of just doing all of the driving ourselves is that we get to see what's in between and
stop when we want
and go see things on the in-betweens if we really want to.
So we have some friends that have been in bigger bands and have been on tour buses, and they said you're trapped on the bus. That, like, if you want to go get coffee, you have to walk. And so some of them will take skateboards, but some of them, that's just where you are. So it's kind of the advantage of being more mobile is if we do want to stop, and, you know, we have to stop. Everybody has to stop at their own pace and intervals as far as what you like and how far your bladder will go.
We can stop where we want. I can find the Starbucks and we stop.
We've been
Starbucks.
At a lot of Starbucks and a lot of McDonald's. Coffees is acceptable. And other people just have coffee flavored water. And I don't drink coffee at all. So I just kind of end up going along for the ride and getting water. So in all of the going, you know, trying to get there in a certain amount of time, we've found that it just ends up being no fun unless you do stop, unless you find something. And sometimes it's a little challenging because when you're driving through the vast areas of Kansas, and not just to pick on Kansas, but there's lots of places where there's not a lot out there, you kind of have to really search for something to look for, something to do, because if you just get from point A to point B, it can end up getting kind of old over time. And then really just purposing to find what's new and interesting about each place and each location and give stuff a try. So
really what we're saying is you have to purpose to enjoy the journey, because
otherwise
the journey stinks. That's true for life in general.
Wow, that really got metaphorical there. That was awesome. Very good. So another aspect of traveling for music is then you have to take musical stuff with you. And it's taken a long time for us to figure out what to take, what not to take. And the first time that we left, we just packed the car full of stuff and kind of assumed what we needed. And then when we got back from that trip, we realized, hey, we didn't use half of the things and we really could have used these other things. And so this kind of progressive take, what do you take, what do you not take? But I believe this trip, we actually used everything that we took.
Yay.
Which was like high five for each other. And and we fit it all in, because when I went down to put all the stuff that we were planning on taking, I was almost worried it wasn't going to fit. So it took me probably 2 hours or more of just working the puzzle of which way do you put this in, and do you put the accordion in first or do you not? Because we took an accordion with us this year, and you know, it's big, it's heavy, you got to put it somewhere. So lots of that factoring in, and then would advise anybody, if you're taking musical equipment, make sure it has a case, because stuff that does not have a case often gets broken, because everything will fit and it seems real good until you start moving, and then cars move and they sway, and then you have to stop at things. And so one thing is that equipment gets vibrated. It's constantly being shaken. So anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything's loose.
And that's why when they ship guitars places, they loosen the
strings, and partly because of elevation and temper changes can affect your gear, which is something to factor in. You know, we were in Phoenix and it was 110 degrees. And so we had to bring all of our stuff inside. So even though we weren't playing, you know, using the equipment, we had to bring it inside because otherwise it was like putting it inside of an oven. But we also then have realized that when you have to stop really quick at something, that equipment can go flying. And so we did have a few moments, and over the years have had some other moments where, oh, hey, here comes a stop sign, or hey, something's out on the road. And all of a sudden, hey, you've got a guitar in your lap, or you've got, you know, what fell this time? Oh, it was one of the product bins with a glass jar in it. So thankfully nothing broke, nothing hit anybody in the head, but maybe the biggest times that we've had equipment flying all over is when we unload part of our stuff and then we go to like go to dinner or we go somewhere else just for a little bit without it being fully packed. And then I forget, oh, that, by the way, there's this tower of stuff that's standing isolated in a first corner that I take, everything hits the wall, which only happened a couple times this time. So one of the best things about traveling, or that has taught us a lot about church, is that we are constantly seeing things for the first time. And so we walk into a church, and maybe we've been there, maybe we haven't been there, but we're seeing it like a visitor would see it. And it really has opened our eyes into all of the different things that we sometimes do as worship leaders and as church staff that just becomes normal.
Right, because you're seeing the same people week in, week out when you're there. And sometimes you can just forget the blessings that you have, or forget just how, you know, the Lord wants to move on a daily basis, because you're like, well, I'll see that person again. Well, what if you weren't going to see that person again? What would you say to them? If you only had this Sunday, how would you lead worship differently than if you had all the following weeks in the year? How would you approach it? Would you pray more? Would you prepare more? Would you do things on a whole nother level? Or would it just look kind of the same? And that's something to think about, because we went from doing that like week in, week out, to then being on the road, and we had to learn a whole new way of looking at things and a whole new perspective. And we're still learning that whole new perspective of what's going to be the most beneficial in this limited amount of time that I have with these people.
Yeah, because I don't have the benefit of history and I don't have the benefit of future. Like, all we have is right now. And so, you know, for us, we've had to, like, I have to get you to want to follow us, trust us quickly. And then I've got to really then kind of explain where I'm going, but do it in a quick and succinct manner. And then really, you know, try to have an impact in people's lives in a short amount of time. And I think at one point, maybe we kind of overdid it, where it was like, we're never coming back and this is it. And if right. you don't get this right now, that you'll never get it.
So we overwhelmed people sometimes, but yeah. We're learning to
find the balance of that. Right. But I think, you know, for us, just saying, when somebody walks in and you're doing something, you're assuming that they have the same history that you do. And so you think that they understand, or that maybe they even know who the people are up on stage.
And which a lot, they probably don't.
And maybe they do, maybe they don't. But, you know, there's so many times people have walked up on stage and started talking. And I'm like, who are you? Why are you talking? And so I'm in my mind trying to like figure out, where does this person fit in the whole thing? And I'm missing what they're saying because they haven't identified. That's just one of like a lot of things that stick out. But it's interesting just to have that different perspective. So, you know, I know most worship leaders and pastors have never visited another church in a calendar year, because the only time that they're not at church is when they're on vacation. And while they're on vacation, they don't go to church. So
right. Or they go to a conference, which is not attending a normal service. That's just a conference setting. So,
which is a whole nother subject, because conferences and how those work as compared to what is reality is maybe worth discussing in another time. All right. So as we wrap this up today, Sean, tell us some of your favorite memories of this trip.
I think what was super fun this time was just doing things a little different. Like a lot of things were different this trip. And
yeah, we did a lot of house concerts.
Yeah, we did house concerts. We did at a restaurant setting.
Which was awesome.
Which was fun with my grandparents.
And who were, you know, in their 80s, and invited all their 80-year-old friends and booked this room at this restaurant. We start setting up all of our gear, and the manager walks in and is freaked out.
She's like, whoa, they didn't tell me there was going to be drums.
They said that their children were going to be here to sing some songs. That did not equal drummer and middle schooler on the drum set. And so we had
she was freaked out, but
talk her off the ledge. And we're like, if we're from Nashville, everybody plays live drums in restaurants, so it'll be okay. And
these are 80-year-olds.
So we played as quietly as humanly possible. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good memory. But I think also was fun was just going to the different places and knowing clearly what the Lord wanted to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of unction.
There was a lot of just, this is what the Lord had for these specific people at the different places that we went. So that was really cool.
It was super fun to go to our youth group that we were the youth pastors of in Colorado for a long time. And the leaders there are just doing such a great job. And to go in and see them operating in their gift was awesome. And then just the opportunity to speak into that. And then that meeting just went really well. So that was super fun. And then our kids really enjoyed the travel this time, which was kind of fun because we went to some of the same places we've been and roads that we've been in, but they're in a new phase of life. So they kept commenting, wow. And
yeah, so, just driving through pretty parts of Wyoming and Montana and
all the pretty places.
Yeah, Utah, all the places we drove through, many states.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the little look into what life is like on the road as a traveling minister, and hope that it can be somehow applicable to all the things that you're going through. Hey, if you do have a question about that or anything else that we do, please feel free to give us a shout out by email at musicandministryconference@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at musicandministry.co. Well, until next time, hope you join us then, and God bless.